You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Well, welcome to Radio Rehab Tri-State. We're back again today to talk to you about alcoholism, drug addiction, substance abuse, pills, pot, powders, however you want to classify it. We're here to offer some insights and sharings about being addicted, being in recovery, having family members that we're concerned about, siblings, you name it. Nothing's below the belt at Radio Rehab, and our guests are people that have experienced their own addiction or have had an addiction or a substance abuse problem in their family. Today I have Robert back. I am glad to have Robert back. He was one of the first guests at Radio Rehab in the first month that we started this show this summer, and I wanted to have him back as many because a half hour just starts to open some doors of sharing. So Robert's back to talk to us today. Hi, Robert.
Hi, Lisa.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Really good.
It's good to be back.
Good to have you back. Have you gotten to listen to any of the shows?
Oh, yes. Quite a few of them, yeah.
What do you think?
I really enjoyed them. You know, it's something that we really need as a community. Yes.
Yeah, we've heard some exciting feedback from people so far. So maybe some people are getting hope.
Yeah, I tell you, those people I work with, please tune in. It's like today, I'll be on there today.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. It's still amazing to me, isn't it, that there are so many people that don't even know what alcoholism looks like.
Yes, it is. I was reflecting just yesterday about the fact, the little while I've been around, that fact that, but I remember last time on the show I was talking about the blacks went into recovery. There has seemed to be some growth in that area, I noticed here lately.
In the minority?
In the minorities, yes.
Attending meetings.
Attending meetings and getting a little sobriety time in,
You really taught me a lot, and one thing that you shared on the show the first time that you were here, that blacks and just minorities don't consider alcoholism a disease, that it's a white man's deal, that just opened my eyes. I never realized that.
Yes, it's just a cultural thing that we have, and I spoke to the gentleman the other day that I spoke to about a month ago who was in court for an alcohol problem, and he said, I need to talk to you. Okay, well, they never called. And then I saw him a couple days ago, and he's back in court again. I need to talk to you. Well, here's my number. But we still have that stigma that blacks are going to do it by themselves.
Yeah.
The majority of us. And I'm hoping that I can influence anyone. We just want to get out of that and say, we're all human beings. There's no color barrier to the disease.
That's right.
And what's going to help one's going to help the other.
Absolutely. Well, last time you were on, we shared about you and the history of your alcoholism and that you were, quote-unquote, a functional alcoholic, even though your marriage and everything was going to pieces, you thought, as long as you were providing,
right. All
was well. This time, let's talk about recovery. You've had over 20 years now of recovery. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's a long time, 20 years.
Yes, it is, and it doesn't seem that long at all.
Yeah. My goodness.
But I know when I still do a lot of meetings, even at this time in my recovery, but I very seldom mention the time I have in recovery.
Yeah.
Because I always want to impress upon people coming in, it's not about the time I got, it's about what I do today with the program, with my recovery.
Yes, and we were raised in that generation that you didn't share your recovery.
No, not at all.
It was a day at a time.
That's right, and it still is, and it still has to be for us, to stay clean and sober. Even the big book says, I can't rest on my laurels. I can't, what I did last year is not going to keep me sober today, it's what I do today.
Yeah. Robert, explain that a little to us. What do people, I get this question sometimes, do you still have to go to those meetings? Why do you still have to go to those meetings?
Well, I just answered that question the other night with a young lady. In fact, I said, basically there's two reasons. One is because I have to remain teachable, because I still have to have that concept in my head for me personally that I still need to be taught how to live one day at a time. If I knew how to do that before, I wouldn't have been into alcoholism. You know, my life wouldn't have been so unmanageable. So I still need a day to keep reminding myself, first, that I'm an alcoholic and I always will be, and what I need to do on a daily basis to stay that way. And the second part is, I have to be there for the new people coming in, because somebody was there for me when I came in. So that's the reason I still go to a lot of meetings, and it has to still be one day at a time.
So you think even at 20 years of continuous sobriety that you still have to be reminded that you're alcoholic?
No, I don't have to be reminded I'm alcoholic, but like in anything, I can become very complacent. I can get lazy very easily.
Absolutely.
My head can give you all kinds of excuses.
We've seen it happen to people.
Definitely, all the time. Well, I don't need to be there, you know.
20 years, 15 years, I don't need all those meetings anymore.
Right. Whenever I do a lead, I tell people, you know, I've read the book a few times. You know, I've heard all the comments. Mm-hmm. I've heard all the cliches. I've heard all the stories. But I also remember one little thing I heard when I first came in. It talks about keep it simple, stupid. And I used to think, what are you calling me stupid for? Until I read
K-I-S-S.
K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, stupid. And it's very simple. As most of the things in the program are, it's like, back to what I said, if I knew how to live life on life's terms, I wouldn't be into my addiction. So apparently I didn't. And now that I'm not actively using, I don't want to forget, though, the disease is still there. I think the tendency of young people in recovery is we think because all of a sudden we get 9 or 10 months in, life's getting good, things are getting better, you know, and we are like our addiction went somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
It's not there anymore. We have to think about, okay, I'm cured. Well, I'm not cured.
Right.
You know, the book said I have a daily reprieve, and that's it.
Gosh, you mentioned something I think that is the demise of a lot of folks. They finish these programs or finish their court sentence or they finish treatment and they think they're cured.
Yes.
So you're not ever cured.
Not ever, no. I was at a meeting the other day reminding young people, even at this stage, I always remind myself, my disease is always there. It's always working. There's subject any time. I might be out here doing anything, and my disease would say, Robin, you know, a cold beer would be good.
Mm-hmm.
A hot shot of whiskey on a cold day.
Yes.
And the disease kicks up.
That's true.
You know, it's always there. I've never heard anybody being honest with the program, has any time in the program, long or short, not say, I never think about drinking again. No, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, it just doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't, no.
Do you know Dr. Wooten? He
was
the medical director
at
Mulberry Now, has started Youth First. I was with him earlier, and he has a friend that is in recovery that went to work in a pharmacy.
Mm.
And we were discussing how tempting it would be to be in recovery and be in a bar every day or be in a pharmacy. Do you think for people in recovery, they really need to stay away from anywhere that there's mood-altering chemicals in their face every day?
Well, I'm like, you know, I had the pleasure of being in treatment with a lady who is still clean to this day, who got out and went to work back in a bar as a server because that was the job she did, and it's the only thing she knew, but she got out to make money. And she survived. You know, I don't, personally, my opinion is I've seen too many people get back in a situation and 9 out of 10 will fail. 9 out of 10 will go back because of it.
It's just too tempting.
It is. Yeah, it is. I also told a little story the other day that was in a meeting, it's quite comical. I can remember when I lived 2 blocks from the liquor store when I first got clean. And my grocery store was another block from there. So to go to the grocery store, I go by the liquor store.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was telling one of the old timers, and he said, Robert, it's temptation. You're putting temptation in your face all the time. Why do you do that? I said, because I got to go past the liquor store. And he said, Robert, you can go through the alley behind the liquor store.
There's other choices.
You can go another block down. You know, you don't have to pass the liquor store. And I try to tell people, there are so many simple solutions to a lot of our situations that are in recovery, but we don't take the simple way out. We still make everything hard on ourselves.
Yes.
And I think going back to the position, whether you're available to drugs, alcohol, and you're early in recovery, it's like you're testing your sobriety.
Yeah.
And, you know, I found out over the years, when you test your sobriety,
You're going to lose. So do you think one of the roles going to meetings has played for you is just reminding you of how vulnerable you are with this disease?
Oh, yes, definitely. And it also, you know, If you go to meet on a regular basis, you're going to see over a period of time many people that are in and out the doors, in and out the doors.
Why do you think that is? In your 20 years now of hanging out in recovery and working in the field and helping a lot of newcomers, what do you think are some of the factors that people just can't get?
Well, one I think is, I know my hardest enemy when I first came into recovery was fighting my own ego.
Your ego?
My ego was killing me.
Telling you you can do this thing.
You know, I'm a man, I'm grown, I don't need people telling me how to live my life. You know, I can do what I want and do it my own way. As I said the other day, I said to him, I want to rewrite the book to make it fit Robert. You know,
Robert's story. As Robert sees it.
As Robert sees it. Make it more comfortable. You know, it's all about being comfortable for me.
That's true.
Because we don't like pain in any form, whether it's physical or emotional. And so I had to go through a whole lot of emotional pain, you know, in recovery, getting out of my ego and accepting the fact that I don't know how to live life on life's terms. I don't know how to live life sober because I never had it.
Right.
You know.
It was all in a daze of drinking.
Right. So, dealing with feelings for the first time in 30 years is hard.
You think harder for a man?
Oh, I think it's definitely
harder for feelings.
Me. Oh, yes, definitely, because our ego is so much farther up than I think the women's are.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
No.
It is, yeah.
It's a different kind of ego.
It is. It's
we want to fix everything,
right.
And you guys want to take care of everything.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's
right. You're too busy to feel anything. Us women will do all that for you.
There you go, yeah.
So for a man to own he's sad or that he's weak.
Oh, yeah. Or get around and, you know, he was showing a tear. I can remember the first time in my sobriety that I cried. It was because I finally accepted my mother's death, who had died while I was actively drinking.
Mm.
And I was on the hat with that, but I was in a relationship at the time, and I just busted out crying one night in this girl's arms. You know, and
the little boy came out.
But at that point, it's like, it's all right now. It doesn't make me less of a man because I can cry today and I can share that. You know,
yes.
But it's a feeling I couldn't get out before.
Because even with the death of your mother, huh?
No.
You weren't allowed to miss her or grieve her.
My addiction wouldn't let me do that.
Wow.
You know, I just buried it and then got another drink.
So you think it's just when those feelings come in your sobriety and recovery and you're not numbing them out anymore, having someone there that you trust to help you feel those feelings
definitely
makes a difference too.
Oh, yes.
And AA provides that as well, or the friendships,
the friendship that you develop in our meetings and with the sponsor in particular, you know, gives you an avenue to share your feelings and get them out on, in an open. You don't have to bear them anymore. You get out of that, like that ego, I got that pride, you know, that, okay, we all go through this. We all have feelings. When the lady I was with for 18 years died, everybody said, Robert, you're going to drink. Because there's a feeling I never experienced sober.
That loss.
You know? But at that time, because of the program, because of meetings, and having a sponsor to share with, you know, and what the book tells me is, hey, one day at a time, I don't have to drink no matter what. Deal with the feeling, and life goes on.
Wow.
Yeah.
Simple formula.
Simple program. And that's what I did the other night. I told people in a meeting for about 15 minutes, keep it simple, people.
Yeah.
Please, don't complicate it. It works just like it is.
So what is it? It's a simple world for complicated people?
Right.
Is that what we used to hear?
Yeah. What's the old cliche? There's nobody too dumb for AA, but there's too many of us too smart.
It's too smart. Oh, yes.
Yes, and there is.
I was just at a Halloween party last night. We were talking about that the people that seem to keep coming or going into treatment several times and continuing to try, and I believe they really are, but that uniqueness, they think they're different than everybody else. That's the killer.
Yes, it is. Yes. Well, I've been around with a lady that my wife is sponsoring, and she doesn't seem that intellectual or educated.
Mm-hmm.
But the woman is grasping the program.
Yeah.
I mean, she's in there, she's at meetings, she's doing her work, she's with sponsors and all that.
It's exciting.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, my gosh, this woman wants this, and this woman's working this program, and she's not intellectual. So, you know, it's like, good. She's smart enough to get it.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
not too smart.
Right. Yes.
And you love that.
Yeah. So you were saying for your several day at a times, going to meetings has been helpful to remind you of your vulnerability. And then you mentioned helping others as well. Is do you think that's another key component in keeping sobriety?
Oh, it definitely is. It always, by working with others, I always remind myself of where I was and what I could go back to.
Yeah.
I also remind myself that I'm that person that reaching out my hand to them like somebody reached out their hand to me. You know, and it takes all of that. It takes me staying active in my recovery and every aspect for me to keep my life together, you know, mm-hmm. one day at a time. Sponsees don't realize sometimes how much they help their sponsors, I don't think.
I think that's true.
Yeah, and I think, you know, we just there just to feel important. It's not that at all. It's part of my life.
Yes.
Because when I walked in, somebody took a hand out for me. Thank God I'm going to be there for somebody else when they walk in the door, whether it's today or my grandkids or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I want somebody there for them, too, when they walk in, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it is important. It always be a part of my recovery. I can't just get my recovery and say, I got it, I'm going to go out here and be a loner now and not give it back.
Right.
Because I don't think that's what recovery is about.
No.
You know, I think it's about sharing what we have with the newcomers that's coming in, so maybe, you know, we do our best, their grasp, and be able to have a clean and sober life.
Absolutely.
Happy life, you know. But if we don't keep going back and doing our part, then who's going to be there for them? And we keep saying, well, why don't they get better? Well, you don't want to help them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't understand that people get sometimes and don't want to go back and help other people.
Oh, I know.
And I'll be honestly, there are very, very many selfish people, unfortunately, it stays around these AA rooms for a long time, and it's still all about them.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the bottom line, that's the truth.
And they're not happy. The happy ones are the ones out there doing what you're doing.
Right.
Helping others, reaching out, getting involved.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you see so many sad faces in meetings and lots of people. I go, why are people so sad every day? You see, you make a meeting, you long face.
Sad, mad.
Yeah. you're sober, but you're nothing else that's going on.
Yeah.
Know? And you wonder why.
Oh, I know it. Yeah, I know it. And you say, go help a newcomer. And they're like, I don't have anything to offer.
Thank you.
You have a day sobriety.
Thank you.
Go teach someone with an hour how you made it a day.
Exactly. That's what the old timer told me when I come in. He said, if you got one day more than a newcomer, you got
something
to offer. Just one day.
We were pushed to help
yes.
the newcomers. I don't know that it's happening like it used to in the meetings.
I don't think it is either.
Yeah.
But
I push people I sponsor, definitely, to help get out there and help someone else.
Yes. I am... very hard on sponsees because people were hard on me when I came in.
Absolutely.
Because this is a life and death disease, you know, it's nothing to play with. If you want it, you got to work for it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are certain things that I ask the sponsees to do. If they choose not to do it, then I will fire them.
Yeah.
Because I don't have time in my life to waste if you don't want this program. This is about people
That's
that
right.
want to live.
That's right.
You know, not people that want to play games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that old hard-ass mentality we were raised in.
Yes.
My way or the highway.
That's right, but it was honest, and it worked, and it
yes.
was all for your own good.
Yes.
It didn't pull punches.
No.
You know, today there's so many people that I feel like they allow the newcomer to more or less dictate, where the newcomer dictates what they want the recovery to be like instead
mm-hmm.
of the sponsor dictating it
yes.
to a degree, you know.
That's true.
Saying, you know, you do this and that. And the sponsor says, well, I'll think about it or I might. and the sponsor hangs on and hangs on and hangs on. And meanwhile, the other person here who wants some help can't get it because you're busy dealing with this person that's not doing anything. So I'll fire them in a minute. It doesn't bother me at all because this is your life we're talking about.
Absolutely. What do you think about the courts? Every time I go to a meeting, I see a stack of papers that have to be signed
right.
for the courts to know people are coming to 12-step meetings. Yes. What do you think about that?
Well, I think the concept behind it is great because it does get many of the people out
pushes
there.
Pushes them in.
At least gives them a contact with AA.
Right,
you know,
right.
You know, they hear something. Whether they take it away or not is up to them. But by the same token, it's not how they get there, is once they get there,
will they stay there?
Do they want what we have to offer?
That's true.
Yeah. So some of them are always going to come just for the court, sign the paper, and go back and do what they want to do.
Yeah.
And some are going to get lucky and say, maybe I didn't want to try this.
Exactly.
Maybe I just want to try this, you know, one more day.
I think it's a great thing.
Oh, yes, it is.
Push them in. It doesn't mean they'll stay.
No.
Bill Wilson, Dr. Bob used to gather them up off the bar stools and take them to their house and detox them there.
Right.
Now, they may not come back, but at least they got exposed to somebody that was clean and sober, another alcoholic.
Yes, and that's the great thing about this greatest court system is they give these, giving these people the opportunity, say, here's a chance we're giving you right there and listen. And this does work.
Yes.
If you want it.
Robert, are there some meetings that you think are leaned more, AA's AA everywhere around the world.
Right.
Do you think some are more sensitive to minorities or would be better for minorities? Do you think there's some that are better for young people?
I've never...
Or do you just tell them, go where you can go?
I think I just tell them, go where you can go. Because, you know, when I came in, I came in and went to meetings that were...
mainstream.
Predominantly white, period. Mainstream people. And if I had went in with the concept that being different, I never would have stayed. Instead of going with the concept that I'm an alcoholic and I need help. So I don't think any meeting is any better than any other meeting if you go in there with the right mindset and you get out of the meeting what you can get out of the meeting.
That is awesome to hear you say.
If you go in saying I gotta fit.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm
that's
black,
true.
Or because I make more money.
Because I'm young or because I'm a woman.
Old, right. Then you're never gonna hear you're never gonna get what you need to get. Because we can get good advice from whether it's young, the old, the rich, the poor. Whatever, when we go to meetings.
I'm glad to hear you say that. Tony said that. Chuck said that when they were on here. You can't go in with that mindset that I'm different.
Right.
And as we said earlier, that if you think you're different and unique, it'll kill you, whether it's your culture or your gender or your lifestyle.
Whatever. Yes, it is. It is. It's very important you go in and saying, you know, these people have something I want. And it's not about their color or their age or anything else. Something is keeping them clean and sober today. Something is making them happy. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want. And to get that, I've got to go to meetings and listen to them, follow their suggestions, and it'll work for me.
Yeah.
No matter where it comes from. When I think I spoke earlier, when I was, this lady was 18 and I was 40-something, and we got together, and we both survived. And I kept saying, this woman don't have nothing to teach me, because she's 18 and I'm 40. But together, we still sober.
The young can teach the old how to live.
And in this recovery, yes. It's not about the age anymore.
And remember those old folks? They loved us. We were young and stupid, and they were in their 40s, 50s, and they just grabbed us up.
Yeah, and they didn't talk about you being young.
It ain't about
not
age.
Age-wise, you're young in the program, and you won't help.
Yes.
That's what we're here for.
Yes.
Yeah.
You hit on definitely some amazing things we need to know about as a community. Sobriety is available.
Yes, it is.
And you can go anywhere to any meeting and see sobriety, and that you have to be very careful never to think you're cured.
Right.
Two key points. I took my judge's wife to a Newberg meeting, and she was just blown away. She's a cancer survivor, and she said, wow, if we had this for cancer survivors, where you could go to support groups and leave there feeling not just good about accepting you have an illness, but laughing about it.
That
blows people's mind, doesn't it, to come to AA and see us that have a fatal disease have such a good time.
Yes. I used to laugh at, you know, I talk about, old times would talk about, them people out there need this kind of program. And I used to think, what do you mean, them people out there need this? Until I got around, stayed here a few days, and realized how this program works in every area of our lives. Makes us so much happier, so much able to deal with everyday situations. And the so-called normal folks are out there freaking out, crying, boo-hoo, and whining and carrying on. And we're dealing with these issues on a daily basis with our addiction and being happy.
And we can't take the drink if we've had a bad day.
No.
They got pills for traffic jams now.
That's right. And they want to last a miserable marriage, and I understand. Maybe you need to get a little bit of this program we have. Because it seems to work in our lives. Maybe it'll work in yours. So it is an outreach to maybe any of our life situations besides alcoholism.
Yes.
It works so many other areas of our lives. Yeah. So it's a great thing.
Yes, and even after you've had some sobriety, when people come to you and say, you still have to go to those meetings.
I still have to go to those meetings.
What do you say to your family and friends when they ask you why you still have to go to those meetings?
Because I'm still an alcoholic, and I always will be. Bottom line.
Yeah.
Bottom line. I don't ever forget that. You know, I wake up every morning, and as we talk about it in the big book, working at the first three steps of the program every day to always remind myself that I'm powerless, my life's unmanageable. I need a higher power in my life to work with this program,
mm-hmm.
you know, one day at a time, every day. Because it's very easy for my addicted mind, which is still there, that crazy thinking is still up there.
Absolutely.
You know, and it's going to tell me sometimes, Robert, you know what, you're cured, you're over this, you don't need to do this anymore. Yeah. And all it is, I get back into my will. And I don't want to go back there anymore. Because even though, I've been around a few days, there are times that my will wants to take over. And
yeah.
We do some stupid things, you know, or say something stupid. And you go, Rob, that's the addiction again, working on you, you know, reminding you, I'm still here.
It's I'm still in the thinking.
I'm still cunning, baffling, and powerful. I haven't went anywhere.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting here waiting on you.
I think that's hard for people to understand. I know in the legal system where I'm working now, they really have a mindset that after treatment, you shouldn't ever relapse. You should be cured.
Oh, no.
They don't know about... I mean, my judge is sensitive to relapse, but we still live in a community. And do you know Verdalski? He's an attorney here in town.
No.
He said, you know, and he's an attorney, he said one thing about the criminal justice system, thank goodness now they agree it's an illness and people can get better with treatment.
Right.
But they still don't understand some people are going to relapse.
Right.
And then you're back to being a criminal.
Right.
So they'll take the illness part this much, but you better not relapse because then you're a criminal again.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, that's true. We've still got work to do on the relapse end of things.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you relapse before you had your several 24 hours?
No.
This was your first and only attempt at getting
first
sober?
No. I've been blessed.
Yes.
I have, yeah. Even, like I said, in later in my years of recovery, there have been many things in my recovery that have gone worse the longer I stayed in recovery than it was in my early recovery. It seems like the longer I got sober, the more things started happening in my life.
More years, more troubles.
More troubles, yeah. You know, it's like, this is happening. Well, why didn't this happen before? This happened. Why didn't this happen? And all of a sudden, it's like, one of the things I've noticed also a lot of times in recovery, particularly in that same aspect, is when things are going good, recovery's great.
Yeah.
Oh, I love going to meetings. I love how to respond. I love this. But when things start going bad, all of a sudden, this program ain't working. Why am I staying clean and sober? If I got to have all these problems, I might as well be drinking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's
when you got to get to a meeting with that thinking, huh?
That's when you got to get to a meeting. That's when you got to get to a sponsor. That's when you got to get in the praying. That's where you got to start.
Because that's
working.
Normal thinking.
It is.
Life is sucking today.
Life is sucking, yeah. You know, but we forget and we just stop and think for one moment. Gee, but you know what? Yesterday was a great day because I didn't drink or drug.
Yeah,
I got a little gratitude today for what's going on, and I can work through this.
Can work through it and not pick up.
Not pick up, yeah.
Mm. Gosh, Robert, you are a breath of fresh air.
Thank you. It's always, I love being with you. You know, we've shared so many years together.
Yeah,
so many
yes. You got to come back. Maybe we'll do a little meeting on the radio so people can kind of see what a little meeting looks like.
That'd work.
Wouldn't
yes.
that be cool?
Yes,
so will you come back?
I'd be glad to.
Listen, Tri-State, if you want to hear Robert on the World Wide Web, go to www.lisaseifcares.net, LISASEIF Cares, all one word, lisaseifcares.net. Click into podcast, and you will be able to hear Robert when we download his CD on the website. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad to be here. We'll be back again next week. Until then, do the next right thing.